Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Daf Chavav. We are right at the Mishnah, which is three lines from the top of the Amud. Hapayis HaShlishi. We previously discussed the first two lotteries. The first pious involved the Trumas Hadeshen to determine who's going to be Zoicha to do that. The second pious involved the Korban HaTamid that we learned yesterday, who's going to do the Shechita, the Zrika, etc., who's going to bring the Evarim of the Korban HaTamid to the Keresh. And we had a list of 13 Kayhanim who are actually going to be part of that winning series. 13 Kohanim are going to be involved in that pious. Now we have the third pious, HaPayis HaShlishi. They would gather again, point their fingers, and the Memunah would take a finger count to determine who's going to be Zoyche to bring the Keteris. HaPayis HaShlishi Chadoshim LaKeteris. Only new Kohanim. Kohanim who have never in their lives had the opportunity to bring the Keteris. They may join the pious and perhaps be the lucky ones to bring the Keteris. Chadosh and the Keteris, Boyu v'Fisu, come along and be part of the pious. More give us the reason why they only allowed new Kohanim to join. It was a popular avoida, very much sought after. It brought wealth, and therefore only new Kohanim are entitled. V'Revi, finally the fourth pious involved anybody. Everybody and anybody, Chadoshim, Emishonim, new and old Kohanim, ones that were Zoicha to do it in the past, ones that weren't, Mi Mala Ivarim, Mina Kevesh, Lamizbeach, to determine who's going to bring up the Ivarim from the Kevesh. So first the Kohanim would place the Ivarim of the Talmud on the ramp, go ahead and do some other things, say Krishma, bring the Keteris, and then they would complete the process, bring it onto the Mizbeach, and that was a new privilege, a new pious was conducted to determine who's going to be Zoicha to bring the Ivarim from the Kevesh and be makivit on the Mizbech. Says the Maratana, we learned in the Braisama, they never allowed anybody to have a second chance at the Keteris. My time of why? Omar Chanina with Mesha Ma'asheris, because it generates wealth. Omar Rapapala, by my time of why do you say that? Where is the source for this Segula? Ilayma Mishon Dechsiv. This is in Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking about the Shevet Levi. They're going to bring Keteris. Uksiv Basrei, and the Pasuk continues afterwards with the words, Baraich Hashem Chelo, Yipoel Yad of Tirtze, Hashem, apply a bracha to his efforts. Give him a bracha, parnasa, wealth. So Keteris generates parnas and wealth. Yihachi oila nami. If that's the case, then oila as well should have that capacity. Hoksi v'cholol amiz b'checha, because the same pasuk says yosimu Keteris b'apecha and concludes with the words v'cholil amiz b'checha, which is referring to an oila which is completely burnt in the mizbeach. Then we have baruch Hashem chelu. So why should we say that Ashiris applies to Oila as well as Keteris? Amalei, Abai responded, Hoshchicha, because Oila is a commonly brought carbon. And as Rashi explains, it's not mistaver that it's going to generate Ashiris, because otherwise everybody's going to be wealthy. Everybody could just come along and bring an Oila. Ashiris is not meant for everybody. There needs to be many classes of people in the world, Ashirim and Anim and in between. So the svar is that it doesn't apply to oila v'hala shchicha as opposed to keteris, which is not something common. It's only brought twice a day, and you can't donate your own keteris. So it's logical to assume that the bracha of Ashiris applies specifically to keteris. So this is the reason why they only allowed the chadashim, only kohanim who never were zeicha, to do the keteris, to apply for the privilege. It was brought down halacha, the name of the Maharil, that being a sanduk at a bris is also a school of Ashiris. In fact, one of the paiskim on the side, I think it's a shach, he says that's why the minhag is not to, a father wouldn't give sanduk to two people. a double son to the same person. One son and then a second son again to the same person, because it has this quality of Ashirus, in line with our Gemara, that only the Chadoshim were entitled to the to be part of the Keteris pious. Amar Rava. Let's proceed with another interesting fact, which is also connected to the pasuk we just mentioned of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about the Shevet Levi. Amar Rava lemishkach as tzur b'mirabona the moiri. You won't find a young Talmud Chacham who has the ability to be a moiri hara, to be a pesik. Elo de asi mishevet Levi, unless he's from Shevet Levi, oy mishevet Yisachar. So either he comes from Levi or Yisachar, that will endow him with the ability to render halachic decisions. Why? Levi dechsev yoyru mishpetech liyakev. That's the beginning of that pasuk we mentioned. Yoyru mishpetech liyakev b'saras liyisrael yisimuk tera pecha. So the Shevet Levi are the Yoyru Mishpatech Liyakov. They're going to be the Meiri Hira for Klal Yisrael. And what about Yisachar? The Chsiv. Ubimne Yisachar. Yoyde bin Eleitim, Ladas, Mayas, Yisrael. The children of Yisachar, the descendants of Yisachar, will have that knowledge as well. Yoyde bin Eleitim, Paras Sanhedrin, and be the instructors of Klal Yisrael. So generally, a Pesach comes either from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. Ve'ema Yehuda Nami. What about Yehuda as well? Dechsev Yehuda Mechaykik. Yehuda is going to be the my rulers, my leaders of Klal Yisrael. Says them are rulers yet. They're going to implement rules, but to establish rules, to be a Pesach, a Meir Ra, that requires special Siyat, Shmai Asuka, Shmaita, to conclude the learning, the Gemara, the Halacha, is Aliba de Hilchasa. In accordance with the proper halacha, to have the proper clarity of a psak halacha, that requires additional talent and ability. Kamina, that's what I'm speaking about. And that was unique to Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. And in fact, if you look back in history, you find a disproportionate amount of halachic authorities who were from Shevet Levi. We have the Chafetz Chaim, most recent generation, we have the Taz, was a Levi, we have the Shach, was a Kohen, etc., etc. Now, the Ben Yoda asks, well, we do find many other Pesachim as well. So he says, in fact, the Roiv, the disproportionate amount of Pesachim are from Shevet Levi or Yisachar, but of course, certainly, there are many others from other Shvatim as well. And Zakasha asked, what about David HaMelech? The Gemara Sanhedrin describes him as being one who had the ability to be Asuki Shmata Liba Dehilchasa, to conclude a sugya in accordance with the proper halacha. It requires special Satel Shmaya of Hashem Imoy, the Gemara says. Now, David was not from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar. He came from Shevet Binyamin, from Shevet Yehuda. So how does that work? So the Tesis Shishonim here on the Amud here says David Nami Milevi Kasi, he came from Levi. How is that? So the Mefarsh on the side, the Ring Taser Rush, that he came from Miriam. Come on, Saita works it out how he came from Miriam. So Miriam was his great great grandmother, and she was from Shevet Levi. So it's a Chiddush in Taser Shon, even if it's not his father. Generally, Yichas is determined by the father's side. But when it comes to this concept of being Haymoira Hayra, as long as somewhere up the line you have even a mother who hails from Shevet Levi, you're okay. Continues the Gemara, Omer B'Yechanan, Ein Mafaisin al Tamid Shal Ben Abayim. We discussed the Tamid Shal Shachar, where they had a pious, where there was Zeiche, to do the Shechita, the Zrika, etc. It's only on Tamid Shal Shachar. You don't do another pious for the sake of the afternoon Tamid. Who's going to do it? Ella. Kohen shezocha bei b'shachrus, zocha bei arba. Same kohen who's entitled to do the shechit in the morning will do the same thing in the afternoon. So it's a package deal. You zocha and tamid shel shachar, you're automatically zocha and tamid shel ben arbaim. You don't need to make another lottery. Meisvei, makash v'abrais. Kashem shemafais in shachrus, kach mafais in ben arbaim. Just as a pious was conducted in the morning, likewise in the afternoon. Ketanei b'k'tiris. That braisa is speaking specifically about keturis because it was a very sought after avodah, as we just mentioned. It's a mashir. So certainly there was no pious conducted for the afternoon keturis. But when it comes to the carbon tamid, it was a package deal. Whoever was zeich in the morning does the same in the afternoon. But Tanya, we learned another braisa. Kashem shemafaisen loy shachris, kach mafaisen loy arvis. Just as a pious was applied for loy is the carbon tamid, the lashon zachar. Likewise, it was a pious for the tamid afternoon as well. That's not keteris, that's a tamid. Aim a lot. Switch it to lot. Lashon nekeva, referring to the keteris. Yeah, keteris had a double pious, morning and afternoon, but not the tamid. Va'atanya, we went to another price. K'shem shem feisen loy shachris, kach mefeisen loy arvis. U'k'shem shem feisen lo shachris, kach mefeisen lo arvis. Here the price is covering both tamid and keteris. Just as you did a pious loy in the morning, which is a tamid, you do another one loy in the afternoon. So tamid had a double pious. And just as you did a tamid, a pious lo for keteris in the morning, same thing in the afternoon. It's pretty clear from the braisa that both tamid and keteris had a double pious. This is the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. You know what we're speaking about? Not on your typical weekday. Hacha b'Shabbos askinan. It's on Shabbos. Hoylo mishmaris mischatris. On Shabbos there was a changeover, change of the guard. So the old mishmar would leave. They would first do the tamid shel shachar. They take care of part of the karbanis. Then they rotated over to the next mishmar, who took care of the second tamid, shevein arbaim. Here, of course, you have to redo the pious. You have to do one for the tamid shel shachar, for the leaving mishmar, and another pious for the incoming mishmar, who will tend to the tamid shevein arbaim. But on your typical weekday, only one pious was sufficient for morning and afternoon. Says the Gemara, "Ulamai desal kadaitin mikara." Now, the way you figure initially that they would do another pious in the afternoon, nefishulu piyosis. It will turn out that we have too many lotteries. We know we meant to only have four, as we learned in the first Mishnah. Nafchav Beis, Arba Piyasis HaYusham. There were four Piyasis. In fact, Tosis, Ovei Nafchav Beis, Beis, and Divya Masal Toshma says, interesting Lashon. He said, they had to have four Piyasis, and he says, Kishum Tam Yesh. Must be some reason, some unknown reason. She'en Livchais Midal Piyasis, which requires us to stick to four, no less. Says the Gemara, if you're going to add another one in the afternoon, then it's four and even more than four, which doesn't really fit with the mission's description. Says the Gemara, "Ma'isi kulu mitzafra asu." Really, they all come together in the morning to engage in pious, and they'll just make another finger count for the afternoon. The Gemara never meant that they have to get together again in the afternoon. Of course, the pious is conducted in the morning. The zochi bei shachar zochi. The one who zoicha to do the tamid shel shachar is zoicha. The zoicha ba'arv is zoicha. The one that is zoicha to do the afternoon tamid, he's zoicha in that privilege. So the Gemara's havamina was not that they come together in the morning once and then again in the afternoon for another finger count. Rather, once they're together already in the morning, they just apply another finger count for the sake of tamid shel arbaim. That was the havamina. The maskana is no. On your typical day, there's no need to do that. You do one finger count, one pious for the tamid shel shachar, and once you're zeicha in tamid shel shachar, you automatically have the schus to continue on and do the same in the afternoon, except for Shabbos, when it was a new group of kohanim, which of course necessitated a new pious. So, in conclusion, Rabbi Yochanan says there's no need to make a new pious. And the Gemara says on Shabbos, there of course we make a new pious for the afternoon. Harevi, the fourth pious, was for anybody. Chadoshim, imishonim, new or old kohanim, meaning even kohanim who already had the privilege of doing this avodah can join the pious and perhaps win this privilege as well. What was the fourth pious for? To determine who's going to be ma'ala the varim, from where? From the kevish onto the mizbeach. So initially the Kohen would take the aver of the Karban Tamid, put it on the Kevesh, somewhere in the middle, leave for a while, and then, according to our Mishnah, it's going to be a new Kohen arriving to bring the Ivarim onto the Mizbeach, onto the actual Makim HaKrov and be Makim with those Ivarim. It says, Gemara Masnisen, our Mishnah, which tells us that a new Kohen is Zeuche to do that second phase, the Loikar Blazim Yaakov is not following his sheet. It's not Blazim Yaakov Aymer. Hamala Ivarim LaKevish, the same Kohen who brings the Ivarim to the Kevish, who Mala Oisnu Mizbeach. He himself will also bring it up to the Mizbeach. So although he puts it down for a while, but he comes back and concludes the Avodah of Allah. It's not given to another Kohen. And therefore, according to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, there was no pious needed for this phase, because there was no such phase. It was the same Kohen that completed the process. But my Kemiflagi, what's the basis, what's the understanding of this Machlekes between the Tanakama, our Mishnah, that there's going to be a new Kohen arriving to take care of that second phase, to bring from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, which Reb Lezer ben Yaakov maintains, no, it's going to be the same Kohen all throughout. Marsava Braivam Hadras Melech. Our Tana holds, the more the merrier, the more involved, the more people that are fussing over the Avodah Hadras Melech, that adds covid and prominence to the Melech. So do it in two phases, in two stages. One kind will bring it to the Mizbeach, to the Kevesh, and then have another pious to determine which kind is going to be Zeiche. So do the second part of that delivery process, which actually is not really delivery. It's a new type of Avodah. It's Hakrava. Rav Hamados Melech. Umar Sava, where Rav Lezer holds, Mokim Shechina, since we're dealing with a place where the Shechina is resting, Beis HaMikdash, Lava Yerach Ara, it's inappropriate to do it in this manner. It appears like the first Kohen is trying to unburden himself from his load. Puts it on the Kevesh, walks away, and has somebody else take over. Rather, says Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, have the same Kohen come back and complete the Halacha process. Apparently, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov looks at it as a Masa Halacha. Therefore, complete it until the end. Don't stop in the middle. Which would give the impression like you're trying to unburden yourself. Too difficult for you. Whereas Tanakama looks at it differently. Kohen A completed his task. He delivered to the Kevesh, which is pretty much the Mizbeach already. Then we start a new phrase, Hakrava. That can be done by a different kind. Nothing wrong with that. Quite the contrary. The more people involved in that Kravas HaTamid, the better. Perhaps let's see Rashi inside. There's 14 lines from the bottom of the Amid. This is Blazim Yaakov speaking. There's no need to make a new pious. It's going to be the same carbon, bringing it to the Mizbeach as well. The same coin who brought it to the Kevesh, Chayzer Malay Lachaz Malam Mizbeach. After all, come back and bring it out to the Mizbeach. Ukshem Melichan Oisei. Now, initially, when they brought on the Kevesh, Manichan Oisei Mechetzir Shul Kevesh Lamato. They would put it in the lower half of the Kevesh. So he approaches the ramp, puts it right in the middle, Mechetzir Lamato. Kadesh Leid Starach Leid Lichay Kala Kevesh. So that when he comes back, it doesn't have to carry it up the entire Kevesh. It's already sitting halfway up. Then when he comes back, he walks up the Kevesh empty-handed, doesn't have to lug the Aver, it's already sitting about halfway up. When he arrives to the Ivarim, Neutlon takes them and proceeds to the Mizbeach. They would place it on the Mizrach side of the Kevesh, halfway down. So according to Blazer and Yaakov, this is preferred. Why? Lava Irach Ara says Rashi Lemeschazi Kimadet Triach Lemilsa. You don't want to give the impression as though it's difficult for you. You're trying to unload the heavy Aver and leave it on the Kevesh for the other kind to pick up. No. We want you to follow through all the way to the end. Whereas Tanakama maintains, it's the opposite. Get another kind involved to do the next phase, which is really post delivery. It's very a different type of Avodah. It's a Krava. Roy V'Amadras Melech. Amar Rava. We learned that there were four lotteries, four piyasis. If that's the case, we want to make an interesting calculation. Loi Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Isle de Rabbi Yehuda. Yesterday we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the kohen who shoveled the coals, the kohen who was zeicha the machta, did not need to be zeicha through a pious. Rather, Rabbi tells us that the kohen who was zeicha in the k'tayres would just turn to the fellow standing next to him and invite him to join him in the process, and there was no need to make a new lottery for the machta, because the kohen next to him would just bring along the machta to help him out. That's Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Blazer and Yaakov, who we just concluded, hold that there was no fourth pious. Because what was the fourth pious for? Who's going to bring the Eber from the Kevesh to the Mizbech? Well, according to him, it was the same kohen that brought it to the Kevesh. There was no fourth pious for that purpose. Apparently, in order to get to the number four in total, four piyases, he cannot hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, Rabbi Lezer obviously holds that the fellow doing the machta needed to be zeicha through a pious. That's the fourth pious. Loi Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is Rabbi Yehuda. He cannot hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, he holds that the machta was granted through a pious. And conversely, Loi Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the machta did not require a pious. That brings him down to three pious. Cannot hold like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. We hold that there was no pious for Ivarim from the Kevesh to Mizbeach. Apparently, because there was a pious for the Kevesh to Mizbeach, so that gives him four piyosis. They came because otherwise, Batsru, Lu piyosis, you're going to be missing from the list of piyosis. So it's either or. V'meshkachas Tana. Now, if you should happen to find a Tana, the Tani Chamish, who actually holds that there were five lotteries, how's that going to happen? Ahu, that Tana Videli is the Loker Blazer ben Yaakov. Will not follow Rabbi Zemin Yaakov. Rather, that Tana will hold there was a new kohen who was granted the privilege of taking from the Kevesh to Mizbeach, that a pious was needed for that. With Lord Rabbi Yehuda, nor does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda that there was no pious for the Machta. No, he holds there was a pious for the Machta. So you have five piyases in total. So in summary, we learned about the piyases that took place in the morning. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was four piyases. There was a pious to determine bringing from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. But for the Machta, there was no pious. Kunar Blazer Yaakov, there were also four piyases, but for a different reason. There was no pious to determine who's going to transport from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, because it was the same kohen who brought it to the Kevesh, who would also bring it to the Mizbeach. But there was, evidently, a pious to determine who's going to shovel the coals for the Keteris. So that gives you the number four. And if you'll find another Tano who speaks about five piyases, evidently he holds there was a pious for both things, to determine who's going to carry the Ivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach, and who's going to shovel the coals for the sake of the Keteris. Continues the Mishnah, Tamid Karev Betisha. We learned yesterday that they had a pious in the morning to determine who's going to be entitled to take part in the Karban Tamid. And actually, the Mishnah told us 13 Kayhanim Azoich, who's going to do the Shechita, Zrika, clean out the Mizbeach HaPnimi, clean out the Menorah, and then we follow with 9 more Kayhanim, who will actually be engaged in the Ivarim and the Nesachim, etc., which are related to the Tamid, Shal Shachar, the Chavitin, etc., 9 in total. 9 plus the 4, Shechita, the Zorik, the one that cleans out the Mizbeach and the Menorah, gives us a total of 13. Tamid Karev Betisha. Now we're going to give us a list of numbers. How many Kohanim are going to be tending to the Karban Tamid? And Rashi says, we're speaking Mishas Hilochas Ivarim Ve'elach. I mean, you're ready after the Zrika. Once you already have Ivarim, you bring it to Mizbeach. From that point onward, how many Kohanim will tend to the Tamid? Typically, it was 9 Kohanim. So we're not counting in the first 4. The Sheikhet, the Zurek, the Medashin, Mizbech HaPnimi, Medashin HaSeminar. We're not counting those. So it's 9, aside from those 4, for a total of 13. That's your typical procedure. But sometimes, you have to add Kehanim. We have a range. Anywhere from 9 to 12. Tamid Karev Betisha, it can be brought by 9 Kehanim. Ba'asara, sometimes 10 Kohanim are involved. Ba'achad Asar, Shnei Masar. 9, 10, 11, or 12. How's that? We'll see in a minute. Lo'i Pachas L'Yoser. Not less than 9, not more than 12. So at a minimum, it was 9 Kohanim. at most 12. Ketzad, how does this work? Atzmai betes, the actual carbon, required 9 kohanim. That was your typical carbon. Bechag, if it was on Sukkot, where they did nisuch hamayim, they poured water on the mizbeach, you needed another one for that. Biyad echad, in the hands of one kohen, was the tzleiches shamayim, the container of water. Harikan asara gives us a total of 10 kohanim. Beino arbayim, bachad asar. On your typical afternoon, Talmud ben arbayim involves 11 kohanim. How? Hu atzmai betisha, the actual carbon required 9. Ushnaim biyadman, 2 kohanim, who have in their hands, shnei gezira etzim, 2 blocks of wood. They need to add 2 blocks of wood to the fire arrangement. You need 1 kohen per block. So add those 2 kohanim to the 9, total of 11. B'Shabbos, on your typical Shabbos morning, once again we have 11. B'chadosar, hu atzmi b'tisha, the Talmud had 9. Ushnaim biyadman, 2 kohanim, in their hands, are holding the shnei bezicha levayna, shlechma panim, the 2 spoons of the levayna, which were brought with the lechem aponim, and on Shabbos, of course, they switched the supply of lechem aponim, and they removed the old mezichah levoina, and they were makter that fragrance on the mizbeach. Then involved 2 kohanim. So it's 9 plus 2 for 11. How do we get to 12? Or b'Shabbos, shebetoich achag. What if we have Shabbos, which falls out on Sukkot? So that morning, tamid required 12 kohanim. Why? You have your standard 9, plus 2 for the mezichah levoina shlechem aponim, plus another one. Biyad echad tzlech l'shalmayim. One fellow holding the water container. For a total of 12. Says Rashi, 3 lines from the top. Talmud Karev, the Talmud was tended to by how many kohanim? 9 up to 12. Mishas halachas evarim ve'el kachashim. We're listing the kohanim who were involved from the point of halachas evarim onward. Meaning, this is in addition to the original 4. The sheikha, the zorik, the Medashim is Mizbech HaPnimi, and Medashim is Menorah. So it's really a total of 13, as we mentioned yesterday in the Mishnah. Atzmai, the typical carbon tamid on your typical day, Bechol Yoyim B'tish. How do we get to 9? Chamishi Leivarim, 5 carried Eivarim, Vechad the Karavim, 1 the innards, Vechad the Soilus, part of the Mincha Soilus, Mincha's Nesachim, Vechad the Chavitim, 1 carried the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol. Incidentally, some Mepharshim point out that although the Chavitim was financed by the Kohen Gadol, was his obligation, but the actual akrava could have been done by any kind. It's pretty clear from our Mishnah that the chavitim were brought by your standard, your plain kohen hedyot. Ve'achad liyayin, and 1 kohen carrying the wine for the nusach. Now Rashi makes another point. Vokar b'lezer ben Yaakov. Apparently we're following b'lezer ben Yaakov's shita. The less lechad lahalos mekevesh lemezbeach. Who holds there was no kohen who was in charge of bringing the Yivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. Why? Because if we're not following Rabbi Lezer, and we hold there was another kohen for that, then you end up with more than 9. You end up with 10 kohanim involved in the Talmud. You need another one to take the Yivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. Apparently, says Rashi, we'll follow Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov, there was no such kohen, because the original kohen who brought it to the Kevesh would carry it onto the Mizbeach. Tosis disagrees. He says, we don't find any mention of this sort in the Gemara that our Mishnah is found with Zman Yaakov, which seems to be a bit strange since the previous Mishnah was in disagreement with Zman Yaakov. We had a special pious to allocate this schus of bringing from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. The Gemara would have made mention of this disparity between one Mishnah and the other. Rather, says Tosis. Interesting chap. He says, our Mishnah can be found even Shittas Rabbanon. Yeah, a kohen was needed to go transport the Yivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. But you know why we don't add them to the list? Why is it that we remain with 9? We don't add in the 10th one? Because the Mishnah says, Lepachas le'yoser. 9 is absolute. You couldn't get less than 9. You can't get less than 9 or more than 12. Now, he says that, as Tosis says, that the kohen who was bringing the Yivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach could have been doing another job as well. He could have been the one that doing the shechita of the zrika. Right? We said in the Mishnah, chadashim megam yisham. Even though it was already zeicha, any of these avoiders can come back and do it again. Certainly, if he only did the zrika, the shechita, wasn't involved in malei varm, there was no restrictions. Anybody can come join. So perhaps, as Tosis says, this kohen was zeicha to bring the avarm onto the mizbeach was already involved in the tamid regardless. It could be. It doesn't have to be, but it could be. So the Mishnah cannot say you need a minimum of 10. It's not always so. A minimum of 9 you need. But the Mala, Ivar, Mekevash, Lomizbeach could have been a double. And therefore, the Mishnah doesn't make mention of it. Okay, it's an interesting discussion between Rashi and Tosfos. Continues Rashi. B'chag, this is on Sukkot, which is typically referred to as Chag in the Lashon HaMishnah, Gemara, B'chag, she'tzoruch shnei nesochen, over there we have to have a double pouring, echad shel yayin v'echad shel mayim. B'yad kohen echad tzloichas echad shel mayim, he was holding a container of water. Bein arbaim, your typical tumish bein arbaim, she'b'chol yoyim, we have two more kohanim. Shnayim b'yad m'shnei gizir eitz, two blocks of wood, lo'hoisiv al atzem arochel harboisim. Gemara, we'll learn the Gemara. We have a source for this halacha where two kohanim are required to bring this additional wood to add to the fire arrangement, the wood arrangement of the mizbeach. Shebein arbaim tzorcha tamid shnei gzirim b'shnei kohanim. You need two kohanim, each one with a block of wood in his hands. Aval b'shachris lo yibo'i sidur shnei gzirim. But in the morning, you don't need to have two kohanim holding the two gzirim. El b'kohen echot. You need two gzirim to be added in the morning, but only one kohen would take care of it. Dechsivu bir alei hakohen, because we have a lashon yachid in the pasuk, referring to one kohen only. So this special addition of two kohanim only apply in the afternoon. Asks the Tosfos Yeshanim, fine, you need one kohen in the morning to do the extra two blocks of wood, so why was he not mentioned anywhere? We discussed all the kohanim involved in the Talmud. We never made mention of anybody bringing extra wood. So he says, because if you remember, back on that Chaf, Beis Avonav, beginning of the Perek, the Chachamim established the Kana, that whoever Zechon to Mesa Deshen gets a package deal. He gets the Sidim Marocha and the Shnei Gzir Eitzim. So it's already included in that pious. One more Rashi, Shabbos Techachag, V'chula Rishnaim Osir. This was Shabbos, which falls out on Sukkot, which gets you to a total of 12 kohanim. Why? Because you have your standard 9 for the Tamid, plus 2 for the Shtei Bizich Levoina, which was done on Shabbos morning, and one more fellow holding the Tzlech Shel Mayim because of Sukkot. Continues the Gemara, Omar B'Abba, V'Yitema, some say it was Rami Bar Chama, V'Yitema, some say it was Rabbi Yechlan. I want to prove something to you. We know that on Sukkot, they did Nisach HaMayim. But when did this happen? In the morning or in the afternoon? Ein menaschen mayim b'chag, el b'tamid shel shachar. It was only done in the morning. Why? What's the riot? Take a close look at our Mishnah, and you'll see for yourself. We're looking for a day in the Beis HaMikdash where they needed 12 kohanim for the tamid shel shachar. So what did the Mishnah come up with? This is the last case in the Mishnah. Shabbos shebesoich hachag. Shabbos falls out on Sukkot, so it's your standard 9 kohanim for the Talmud. Add 2 more who attend to the bezicha levoinish lechem upon him, and 1 more for the slecha shalmayim, which was poured on Sukkot. Now, if mayim was also poured during the afternoons of Sukkot with the Talmud shabbein arbaim, then you could come up with 12 kohanim even on your typical Sukkot afternoon, a weekday afternoon. Not on Shabbos. Why? You have your standard 9 for the Talmud. You have 2 more for the 2 blocks of wood, which was standard in the afternoon. Every afternoon had 2 kohanim taking care of the 2 gzira etzim. So you're up to 11. And if there's nisach hamayim in the afternoon, that adds another one for 12. So the raya from the fact that the Mishnah did not come up with that as your example of 12 kohanim, there was no nisach hamayim in the afternoon. Mimayim. How do I prove my point that Nisach HaMayim only takes place in the morning? Midiktani, the Mishnah says, Ube Shabbos, Shabbosei Chachag. Shabbos on Sukkot, we have 12, because B'yad Echad, Tzorech Shomayim. Because of this Tzorech Shomayim brought by the 12th coin. V'yisach Kadaitach B'tamim Shabbos HaBayim Menaschen. If you'll tell me that they did Nisach HaMayim in the afternoon as well, B'chol Nami Mishkachasla. We have to go look to Shabbos as an example of a 12 kohanim, a typical weekday, a Sukkot weekday, a Chol HaMoed, would also have the same 12 kohanim. You need 9 kohanim for the Talmud, two more for the blocks of wood, and one more for the mayim. So this proves that Nisach HaMayim all took place in the morning. Amar Ravashi, afanana metanina. I'll bring you a raya as well. It says, so the fellow went up to the Mizbeach to do the Nisach HaMayim. They would instruct him like this. Pick up your hands so all can see. Why? Because they would stuk him. Again with the tzedukim. They gave us a hard time. They disagreed. They disputed all the drushes of the Chacham. They followed Torah Shabbat literally. And they didn't hold of Nisach HaMayim. So what happened? Pam Shabam Achas. So what happened? That one time, Shabam Echad Nisach HaGavi Raglov. The Kohen who was at Tzduki poured it, but not in the right place, in the safe on this receptacle. He poured it on his feet. And everybody saw what happened. Urgamu kol ames again. This was on Sukkot. So everybody immediately pelted him with their striking. Shema Mino, this proves our point. How does it prove our point? Let's see Rashi. Off to the left. Come, let's see what you're doing. Let's see how you're pouring into the sefer shel kesef, the silver, clear on the mizbeach. That had a sort of a drain on the bottom, some hole, shayan, kalech, the wine, the water would flow right through it. That was called Nisach HaMayim. Why do you have to show what you're doing? It so happens that once the Kohen decided to be a smart aleck and he poured on his feet. Instead of pouring into the seifel, poured on his feet. And what happened? They all pelted him. They stoned him with their esrogein. So that was the story. And the shaila is, lamali lemisni besrogein. Why does the Mishnah have to stress? Why do I have to emphasize the fact that they used esrogein? They stoned him. They pelted him. What's the Mishnah to what? There must be a purpose. Imloi bodlam deinuf. Not for the fact that Mishnah has come to teach us something. Shenisach hamayim einei ela b'shas entilas luluf. That Nisach hamayim only takes place in the morning when everybody's still holding their luluf. That's the lesson taught by the Mishnah. So we have a right from here that Nisach HaMayim was only in the morning. Asks the Ritva, how do you know that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell us that you may use an Esrog for this purpose. It's fruit. It's a Chevish Shal Mitzvah. How do you know you let a paltate Stuki with the Esrog on Sukkot? So maybe that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Not to tell us when Nisach is done. Just to tell us this halacha that you can pelt the tzduki with the esrog. Says the Ritva, that's not a chiddush, it's bullshit. Everybody knows that you can pelt the tzduki with the esrog. He says it's, if anything, it's enhancement on the mitzvah of esrog. You mekal Hashem Shemayim by setting things straight and establishing the Messiah. So, of course, you don't need a Mishnah to tell you that you can take your chevich of mitzvah esrog and toss it onto the tzduki. That wouldn't be the chiddush of the Mishnah. It must be that the chiddush is something else. As we said, that the lesson here is that Nisach took place in the morning, Davka in the morning. There's a similar Chasam Sefer. The Shaila asked him regarding an Esrog which was already getting discolored. It was already getting brownish, yellowy due to overhandling. You know, those days they had maybe just one Esrog per community. So due to overhandling, it was starting to look a little bit discolored. And they asked the Chasam Sefer, Esrog is meant to be hotter, beautiful. Is this conform? Is this hotter? Said the Chansavi, yes, just the opposite. This is beauty. This is hider mitzvah. It was beautiful to begin with. Then, due to the netilas lulav, it looks the way it looks. That's the result of a mitzvah being done with it. That's hider mitzvah. Just the opposite. Shake it. This is the real hader. And there's a raya from the Gemara Pesachim. It speaks about the Kohanim on Erev Pesach, who would walk through the dam, ad arku voisem b'dam, knee deep into the dam. They were immersed, literally and figuratively, in the karbanis. And that was a shvach, the Gemara says. It was a praise to the Bnei Aaron that they were so heavily engaged in the karbanis. So sometimes being dirty is a shvach if it involves a mitzvah. And here as well says the Ritva, it's a shvach. It's not misusing the esrog by using it for this purpose, setting straight the Messiah and Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Rav Shimon Lechayim. Okay, let's discuss the Shnei Gzir Eitzim, which Rashi alluded to. He says, Menayin Latomet Sheben Arbayim Shaton Shnei Gzir Eitzim Shnei Kehanim. How do we know this halacha? in the afternoon they would bring two gzira etzim carried by two kohanim. Shenemar, we have a pasuk which is actually speaking about the morning tamid. Va'orchu etzim. So the complete pasuk reads as follows. If you have it, it's on the side, the Torah Shalom pasuk aleph. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron hakohen eish al mitzbeach va'orchu etzim aleish. And then we have another pasuk which says, "Ve'esh al mizbeach tukat b'loy sichbe ubir aleho hakoyin etzim abayke abayke." Okay, so now we're going to learn both pasukim. Says Shimon Rechai, the first pasuk va'orchu etzim tells you that the kehanim should add wood in the afternoon. How do I know? We're speaking about the tamid shel shachar. Imeina inu the tamid shel shachar, because if it's not needed for the shachar tamid, we have another pasuk for that. Dechsev ubir. So we already have a pasuk. Then in the morning you bring extra wood. Why do we need another pasuk for the same halacha? This is a formula applied many times in Gemara. The pasuk is unneeded for one thing, we apply it to elsewhere. And in fact, this is the makor that in the afternoon you add the two blocks of wood. Maybe they're both applying to the morning. Torah is simply telling us, Ovid, do it once, Mahadur, Ovid, do it again. Bring two shipments of wood, once and again. How do you know to apply it to the afternoon? Imkain, if that would be the case, name a crow ubir ubir. Instead of saying, v'orchu, and then ubir, one pasuk we have v'orchu, and then ubir in the next pasuk. The pasuk should simply have said, ubir, ubir. Which is the same lashon. Why switch lashon is first ubir and then varchu? If it wasn't coming to teach us something else. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe both psukim are referring to the morning tamid. There's no need to bring etzim in the afternoon. Why then does the Torah use two different references? We have ubir, we have varchu. The answer is ikos of Rachmana ubir. If only for the word ubir, hava amina chadin. I would say it's only one kohen bringing both gziri etzim trei loy, but you don't need two kohanim. So of course, it's going to happen in two phases. You add once, you add again, but in both cases, only one kohen is needed per delivery. Kamash malon. That's why Torah switches the terminology to an avid chad. To teach us that first one kohen will bring both blocks of wood, ubir, and then we have the word v'aruchu, lashon rabim, that the second time around two kohen bring, each one holding a block. But it's both in the morning, not in the afternoon. Imkain, if that was the case, neimakra ubir ubiru. There would simply switch from lashon yachad lashon rabim, using the same term, ubir. First, ubir, lashon yachad, ubiru, lashon rab. Inami, alternatively, varach varachu. Go from varach, which is lashon yachad, denoting one kohen delivering, varachu, lashon rab, and two kohen delivering. Mai ubir varachu. Why then does the Torah change on two accounts? First, from lashon yachad, lashon rab. Also, the actual term was switched. We have ubir, and we have varachu. Different reference, a different word. This proves our point that we're discussing two different contexts. The Tamid shel Shachar is Ubir, one kohen bringing both blocks. And V'orchu is a different experience. Tamid shel Ben Arbaim with two kohanim are needed, each one holding one of the gzirates. Tanya Rav Chiya. Now we're going to have a tally in the name of Rav Chiya. Pious Ba'am Yud Gimel. Regarding the kohanim involved in the Tamid shel Shachar, sometimes it's going to be 13 kohanim. As the Mishnah Daf Chav Hey stated as well, we have 13 kohanim involved, beginning from the Shoichet, the Zorik, the Medashim, Mizbech HaPlimi, Medashim HaMenorah, and then the 9 kohanim, which we referred to in the Mishnah previously. So 9 plus 4 is 13. That was your typical Tamid, 13. But of course, as we just mentioned, your Tamid can range anywhere from 9 to 12, depending on the time of the year. And if we add, right, the Mishnah did not speak about the first four kohanim, the Zurich, the Makta Keterah, the Sheikha, the Zurich, the Meitav Menorah, the Menashe of Mizbech, we left that out. Rashi said we only discussed the Kehanim from the time of Halachas Evarim onward. So if we add that four, we're going to end up with a range from anywhere from 13 minimum, right, 9 plus 4, all the way up to 16. Right, because the Mishnah told us either it could be from 9 to 12, taking care of the Talmud, plus the 4, which we didn't mention. So it takes us from a minimum of 9 plus 4, which is 13, to a maximum of 12 plus 4, which is 16. Sometimes we have 13 kainam zoich in the pious. Sometimes 14, 15, 16. Says the Gemara Tanya Yud Zayin. We have a Braisa, which gives us the number 17. 17 kainam of Alden the Talmud. How do you get to 17? How do you get to the additional kain? Says the Gemara, that's the kain who would transport the Ivarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. Hahi, that Braisa is the Loi. It's not following Rezban Yaakov, who held that there was no such coin, because he held that the same coin that brought it to the Kevish would continue out to the Mizbeach. So we're not following that Shita. Elok Rabbi Yehuda, rather, it's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, who said that there was no pious for the Machta. So how did he get to four, a total of four piyasis? He held that there was another pious to determine which coin will bring the Avarim from the Kevish to the Mizbeach. So that's coin number 70. Continues the Mishnah, Ayil Korev Bachad Osor. Until now we spoke about the Tumit, which was a Kevesh, was a sheep, rather small in size. But suppose we bring an Ayil as a Korev and Oila, a ram, that's larger in size and requires more Kayhanim to tend to it. Ayil Korev Bachad Osor, there were 11 Kayhanim involved in that. Habos Bachamisha, the actual Avarim were transported by 5 Kayhanim, similar to the Kevesh. But when it gets to the other portions, then we need more kohanim than the kevesh, because these things were larger in quantity. Hakrovaim, for instance, the innards of the aisle, this needed two kohanim, as opposed to only one kohen by the kevesh. Vasoilis, likewise the flour for the mincha, which was more in quantity. Vayayin, as well as the wine, these things, each one required bishnaim shnaim, two kohanim per item. So we have 5 plus 2, 2 and 2 for a total of 11. An ox, karev esrabo, a cow would need 24. It was so large in size and required more kayan. Harosh v'regel. Let's go down the line of all the ivarim. Harosh v'regel, the head and the hind leg, the right hind leg. How many kayanim were needed for this? Harosh be'echad. The head was carried by one kayan, v'regel b'shnayim, and two kayanim for the regel. What about ha'ikitz v'regel, the hind part of the animal and the left foot? As follows, ha'oikets b'shnaim, two kohanim carried the oikets, v'regel b'shnaim, and the foot was carried by two. Hechazav v'agera, the chest area and the neck area. As follows, hechazav v'echad, the chest by one, v'agera b'shloisha, that required three. Shtei yodayim, both four legs, b'shnaim, two kohanim, one per hand. Shtei tfonim, the two sides of the carbon, b'shnaim, two kohanim, one per side. Hakrovayim, the innards, which were greater in quantity than even the aisle. And Vasoilis, the soil, which was also greater in quantity, Vayayin, and the wine, Vashlesha, Shlesha, each thing needed three kayanim. So we have 3, 3, and 3, that's 9, plus 15 for the Avarim, for a total of 24. But when does this whole discussion apply? The lotteries and the allotments of the Avoides, what does it apply to? Bekarbonis Sibur, only to public carbonis. Ava Bekarbon Yachet, but if a person brings his own carbon, if a kohen should bring his own carbon, he can bring it on his own. He doesn't have to allow anybody any privileges in his carbon. Likewise, if a Yisrael should offer a carbon, his own personal nedava, he can choose which kohen will take care of his carbon. Concludes the Mishnah, have sheitan v'nituchan shel elu v'elu shavan. When it comes to the hefshet, removing of the skin, v'nituchan, and their cutting up the carbonis, shel elu v'elu shavan, whether it's a carbon yachad or carbon tzibur, they both have the same halacha, meaning that a zar, even a non-kohen, can engage in these activities. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, have sheitan v'nituchan shavan mazar. If carbon yachad and carbon tzibur are equal in this factor, that a hefshet v'nituach can be done by a zar. Amar Chizki, how do we know this? Menayin lehefshet v'nituach sheshavan mazar. How would we know that a zar can do the hefshet and nituach of a carbon yachad or carbon tzibur? Shenema, v'nostu b'nei aron ha-kohen Eish l'mizbeach. Pasuk says the Kohen will light the mizbeach. Nisinas Eish. Boya kuhuna. Yeah, lighting needs kuhuna. Hefshet v'netuach, but flaying the animal or dissecting the animal, loy boya kuhuna. Kuhuna is not required. Even Zohar can do that. Then we'll elaborate further, Bezer Hashem, in the upcoming daf. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We learned that every morning there were four piyasis conducted. Rabbi Yechon tells us the one that was zeicha in Tamid Shel Shachar automatically gets a schus in Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim as well, except for Shabbos where there was a new mishmar and a new pious was required for Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. Who brought the Yevarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbech? According to Tanakama, there was a new pious for that. A new Kohen was involved in that. According to Blazer and Yaakov. No, the same Kohen who transported to the Kevesh would come back and carry on to the Mizbeach as well. And we learned that anywhere from 9 to 13 Kohanim would be involved in a Korban Tamid. On your typical Tamid Shel Shachar, it was 9. 5 for the Yevarim, 1 for the Kravayim, 1 to bring the Solas, 1 to bring the Chavitin, and 1 to bring the Yayin. If it was a Tamid Shel Shachar on Sukkos, we had another Kohen for the Tzlech Shalmayim, for the Nisach HaMayim. If it was a typical Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, a weekday afternoon Tamid, you have 11 Kohanim involved. Because you had your standard 9 plus 2 Koyhanim who were bringing the Shnei Gzir Eitzim. If it was a Tamid Shel Shachar on Shabbos, likewise, we had the number 11. Your standard 9 plus 2 additional Koyhanim who were taking care of the Shnei Bezicha Levayna Shlechem Apanim. How do we get to 12? The Tamid Shel Shachar on Shabbos Sukkos. So you had your standard 9 plus 2 Koyhanim who took care of the Shnei Bezicha Levayna plus the 12th Koyhan with the Tzlech HaShamayim. In the Braisa, we added another case. We had 13 Kohanim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the 13th Kohen was there to be Mal Devarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. In the next mission, we learned that an Ayil required 11 Kohanim, 5 for the Devarim, 2 for the Kravayim, 2 for the Seles, 2 for the Yain, and a par 24, 9 for the Devarim, 3 for the Kravayim, 3 for the Seles, and 3 for the Yain. And we learned that Hefshet v'netuach, regardless of whether it's a Korban Yechid or Korban Tzibur, can be conducted by a Zohar. Hatzlacha Rabbah, all the best to you.